Lord, we want to talk about being your favorite one this morning. And we just want to realize that each one of us can be that at any moment in time. So God, we want you to open up your word to us. Open up this revelation to us of how we can be Daddy's special one anytime we choose. Thank you, Lord. So we talked about this a little bit the other night. We weren't supposed to because I didn't get to it yet. So we're just going to start over like you never heard this yet, okay? So your mind and your heart and your soul, when you fall deeply in love with someone, you want to be their special one. And when you found who you're going to marry, you want to know that you are more special to them than anyone else on the face of the earth. Now, when Harvey and I first got married, I used to say, well, I know I'm your favorite one as long as I'm alive, but if I died today, you'd marry somebody tomorrow. You know, how special is that? Or when he called kids, all boys were buddy. And they felt so, you know, well, hi, buddy. And they felt like, oh, little nickname, I'm his buddy, until you heard him say it to 50 other kids. You know, hi, little buddy. You go, man, everybody's the little buddy. You know, who does that make me? But we want to feel like we are God's favorite special one. So when Misty Edwards sang this song the first time I heard it, it was like, I got jealous. Ah, if she's God's favorite one, then where do I fall on that list? You know, somewhere inferior to her. So then last week, of course, Harvey said, I just feel like I'm the most special one in the whole wide world to God. And there he is. There's me, the one that stands out among all people in the whole wide world, you know. But God, at first it angered me, but only because I wanted that spot. But it's not pride. It's within us to want to be the most special person in the whole wide world to God. We want to know we're that loved, we're that special. And there's a reason that we're that special. Not just because he loves everybody, but what's special about me that he loves? Uniquely about me. So jealousy can be a good thing when it's the right kind of jealousy. You know, Exodus 34:14 says, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. There is a type of jealousy for what should belong to you. That's okay. Also, when Harvey and I got married, you know, he was just like all of you men, you know, dumb ox to the slaughter, a little naive when it came to women. So I had to display some jealousy for him when I saw him being led like, you know, the ox to the slaughter. Because women, you know, bat those little eyelashes and they need a hero. And that appeals to the ego in a man. But women, they can see through that. The same way you guys, you can see through a man who's hitting on your wife, you know, and in a wrong way, his intentions are wrong. You can see that. You know, all you dads think every man alive is an evil monster when you have a teenage daughter. You know, because they're all out to get your daughter, you know. You see things the women don't see. But the jealousy that is right protects. And the jealousy that is right wants what belongs to them rightfully. God wants our worship. It belongs only to him. So he's a jealous God. If we're worshiping idols, he's jealous about that. Because that belongs to him. There is something in God that belongs to only you. And he's jealous for it. And so are you. When somebody else threatens to take what belongs to you in God, you should be jealous about it. It's yours. But you need to know what it is. Now, fathers in this world aren't supposed to have special ones, are they? Like parents, mothers, and fathers. People say, which one's your favorite child? And you just so nobly say, I don't have a favorite child. I love all my children. But as you get older, you're going to realize, as your children grow and you grow, that there is something different about each one of them that makes them special in that certain way. There's things that you and that child, they're created out of you and they reflect something of you. If I want to talk very logical, very common sense is what I'm looking for. Common sense I have in common with her. Intelligence would be in common with, I'm saying she has in common with me. Intelligence she has in common with him. They want to play all their little word games, what these words mean, and, you know, throughout their A-plus college degrees, they talk to each other because I'm a B. I'm not an A-plus. I'm a B, pretty average. I'm glad I got a B. I mean, average, I guess, could have been my C. But I have more common sense than he does and discretion. So she and I relate with common sense and discretion. She and I love going to the movie. He doesn't like movies. Now, he is the closest person to me in the world, but there's some things I can't relate to him in. But I can her. Now, Jackie and I can relate about different things. Jamie and I relate about different things. My sons, they are all favorite when we relate in the way that only we can. They become the favorite one. So that's how it is with God. We're all favorite when we connect in the right way with him. Now, it's okay to have favorites as long as they're all favorite. But think about what makes somebody a favorite. It's what you can share. It's what you have in common. So just a couple of examples. You think about a history, you know, you talk about teachers' pets at school. Now, think about a history teacher who loves to talk about wars and battles. I'm not going to be his teacher's pet. I'm not going to be his favorite student. I'm out of that class. I mean, get me out of that room as quick as I can go. I don't want to talk about war. But a young boy who loves to talk about the details of a battle and he studied it, that teacher gets excited. He becomes his favorite student because they share the same passion. People who love to dance. You know, when you see great teams of people that they dance together, they put on shows, they relate to one another in the dance. You see bands form when they love the same kind of music because they become your favorite people when you're forming that band. Maybe more favorite than your husband or wife because they don't even like that kind of music. So it's what you share in common and have a passion for that makes you become a special person to someone. I like painting. I always liked painting. Back in my early teens, I was painting abstracts. You know, I love this about style and things that are in and things that are out. You know, bell-bottom pants were in, and then they went out and skinny jeans came in. And if any of your kids saw your grandkids, they see you in pictures with bell-bottoms, they laughed, they made fun of them. And then what happened? Wide leg pants came in. What do they call those big wide legs? You wore them. Oh, what were those things? Not just the flare, but pilatos. Huge. At first they had the flare, then they had the pilato. The whole thing was huge, you know. It was more extreme than the bell-bottom. They made fun of what we wore, but then like you skip a generation, and it comes back in a bigger extreme. That's really funny to me. So I was painting abstracts because I've always just had a passion for color, depth, texture, movement, and with my bad eyes, I don't do so good with reality, things like landscapes or people, you know. But I didn't know God back then. So it was different when I connected with God in my special place with color. Oh my goodness, colors came so alive to me. And you know that like you can't just say blue, navy blue, dark blue, light blue. There's shades and shades and shades of blue in between. And then you go and get some green, and you got shades of teal and turquoise with green and blue. You know, endless mixtures of color, combinations and shades. I discovered colors with God, that he mixed colors. He showed me a color one time no one else has ever seen. He blended colors, and then he told me that it was the color of revelation. And it was so awesome. Colors came alive because I was created from a part of God that loves to play with colors, blending them and creating new shades. That's mine. There might be other people created from the color of God, but you know what? The colors aren't the same as my colors. Their colors might do different things than mine and mean different things than mine. Some people come along and tell me that blue means a certain thing, or grass. Green means growth. Green might mean growth sometimes, but green can also mean authority when you get into a different shade of green. So there's so much in God to learn about color when you connect with him. So when I get into my little place of color in the heart of God, I'm his favorite one. I'm his special one. And that's my spot inside his heart that only I get to go to. Because when he created you, you are so unique that your special place in the heart of God is only yours. Only you can go there. And because only you can go there, there is a craving inside of God. Have you ever had something in you that you're passionate about and nobody else gets it? They just don't get it? You try to explain it and they're going, I've heard that before, you know? But it's dead to them. They don't get it. Or maybe nobody's ever heard it before and they just think you're crazy. Having some prophetic in me, I get that a lot. You know, I'm like, God's going to do this and this and this. And people are going, you know, I don't see that. You might not see it 50 years after I'm dead and gone, but it's still real. But I got to go ahead in time and live there already. But he created every single person he ever created from a special place that is theirs and only theirs. Only theirs. So when you think about that thing in you, that when you talk about it, nobody gets it. Nobody understands. Then you explain how you feel and you can see it in their eyes. They don't feel it. They just don't connect on it. Then you understand the craving of God's heart for you to connect with that part in his heart that belongs to you, that part that only you can fulfill in him and only he can fulfill in you. It's your place in his heart. And when you fall in love with him, this is repentance toward God in the most ultimate, highest motive to connect in the place of love in his heart that you came from, where you belong. It's home. It's home for you. And when you're saying, God, I want my place. I want to connect in that place. I want, oh my gosh, these things in me that I've never shared. You understand. You get it. And you're real. When Janaya was talking about a real God being right here, I'm picturing you, you're talking about that praying part and you're talking a position of prayer. And I'm seeing somebody bow your head way down there, holy, way down there. Pray, yeah, he's praying down there to God and God's up here saying, hey buddy, I'm not on the floor, you know. Or stand up and pray, or stand up, look up to the heavens, maybe you think he's up there. And he's down here saying, what are we looking at? Is there a spider up there? I'm right here beside you. It's like God is real and God is here and he's inside of you. He's not on the floor and he's not in the sky. He's here and he wants to connect with us. He hungers to connect. He craves to connect. And so do we. And neither one of us gets satisfied until we do. But when we do, oh, you know it. You know it. If that place, when you enter that place, all of a sudden, oh, there's God, and the whole world stops. You just connected, and you're satisfied. Enjoy, no matter what you're going through. All of a sudden, God, there's that smile on your face. Satisfaction, you've connected. And in that moment, God is going, you are my favorite person in the world. Right in that moment. Same thing happened with my writing. I started writing in second grade. I might have been a little slow because I see five-year-olds writing words, but I just remember in second grade I started writing books, started writing stories. They were always crazy stories. I mean, I had a giant pond in the backyard, you know. I had to water it and take care of it, and we grew up together, and then when it got grown, it opened up, and it was my Prince Charming. I always wrote ridiculous things, you know. I wrote about people that died and went to hell. I didn't know anything about hell, but they ended up enslaved to the devil, and he sent them back to win other people. I had never even been to church. I didn't know anything about that. But I started writing and writing and writing, and I wrote all the way up until I met Jesus, and then I trashed everything I ever wrote, every word of anything I wrote, because I met the one that created me to write. And when I came into that part of his heart and began to write his words, now I'm not saying all my words are his words, but when they are his words, they're alive. They're not just made up stories. Now, they're revelations from God that live. Sometimes he gives me the name of a character when I name them wrong. They have to be real people that did live or will live because they're real to God. I become his favorite one when we're writing. He and I, we just get lost in writing world. And I'm not kidding you. I could sit there and later I look at the clock and go, oh, it's been 3 hours. I'm not even dressed yet because we got lost in our writing. I love to get lost in painting and writing. It's what I was created to do. And that's where I become special one. And I want you to think about yourself. You are just like God. First of all, you're a spirit. You are living in flesh, but you are not flesh. You are spirit. You'll never satisfy yourself when you live to please that flesh. When you live for possessions, you live for money, you live for your job, you live for what people think of you, that's flesh. You'll never be satisfied. You can't even be your own favorite one, much less his. But we're also multifaceted just like God. So we have more than one place in that big heart of his. And think about yourself. Think about the people you do relate to in this world. Think about how you're satisfied when you get to be with one of those people. You guys that are evangelists, when you find somebody that wants God, it's like, woo, you come alive, right? Because you were created to be an evangelist. Janiyah can have a horrible week, but she comes in here to do worship, and you'd think this girl just walked on clouds all week with God, right? And she says, I don't even understand it. But when I start bringing worship, I get in God's presence. And she comes alive because she was created from the heart of worship there. Every soul alive is hungering to become part of God. And this way that we connect, God had this massive, massive networking. I found this picture, and right in the middle of it is God's heart. And then there's this little red line that goes out to me. And right from the heart of God, of all the people in the whole world, this one part in his heart, he just comes looking for me. And when I'm repenting toward God, that's the part of God I'm looking for too. So we connect. We don't have to be just a question mark on this massive map of connections. People who haven't met God, you know, others, they're connecting to each other. But if they're not connecting into God, they don't even know who they are. We're a little question mark out there saying, who am I? What am I doing in this world? How do I ever find where I belong? And some Christians who stop connecting still live like just a question mark in the big, massive networking. And they're trying to get satisfied by connecting to people. Now, because God loves people, and I was trying to show this to Harvey this morning, here's Harvey Hampton and all his aspects. Well, there's only five of them because I've only got five fingers. So five aspects of who Harvey is from the heart of God. And here's me. In the flesh, opposites. We come together like this. Fight, 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 fight. We just butt into each other in the flesh. But when we come together in the spirit, we complete each other. Because this part of God's heart is right by this part of God's heart, and we complete each other. But look, he's got a gap down here that I don't match him. But his friend, Glenn, comes in. And there's one part of Glenn that fills that one part of Harvey to satisfy that. Because God's heart wants us to connect with the right people, too, that he has in our life. So the massive networking, if it's coming from the heart of God in each one of us, how we connect to each other, just completes this massive picture of who God is. And he's ever expanding. Billions and billions of people being created to expand the heart of God. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. We have one thing in common. We're born from love. We're born from love. We are never satisfied except that what we do moves through a channel of love. That is what connects us, our love. The love of God awakens our spirit to be able to love one another and to love God. That's the great connection of the whole network. And it's so exciting, so thrilling. We don't have to be talented. We don't have to be intelligent or pretty. That's not a requirement. God created each of us exactly how he wanted us to be. I used to be intimidated by really intelligent people because I can learn. I can learn really fast, but I've never been able to retain anything. I learn it, and if I don't use it, it's gone in a flash. I can memorize the name and right there. And And then I can turn around to you and go, ooh, I can't remember that name, you know? I just don't retain things. So I used to be intimidated about that until I met some super intelligent people that had no common sense and they had no gentleness or passion for the people they were teaching. They just had intelligence. And I said, God, I would rather have passion for the people, compassion. I would rather have common sense. And that doesn't make that better than what they had, but it makes it mine. And when you have what's yours, you're content to be you. So we don't compare ourselves. We work together. Amen. And whatever. I was John this morning. I don't know why, but all of a sudden, I just got this picture. How God likes to take the opposite. Like, I would never talk to anybody. Now he has me talking all the time. I never would have dreamed I could be a teacher because I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want anybody to look at me. In fact, I'm going to come back to John. Don't let me forget to do that. But I asked the kids, because we were looking up little characters, you know, like which cat would you like to represent you, and which little puppy or whatever it is that you like, and I printed it and put their name on it and whatever they wanted to say about themselves, and they could hang that in their room. Like Remy picked a cheetah because they're fast. So Remy, fast as a cheetah with his little cheetah. So then I asked, did you pick the character that you really believe represents you, or did you pick the character you wish you could be? And they all told me they picked the one that truly represents them. And I said, that is awesome. That's part of loving who God made you to be instead of wishing you were someone else. So when I was younger, I thought about it. I felt invisible. And in part of me, I wanted to be invisible because I was afraid of everyone and I didn't want them to look at me. But on the other hand, I wanted to be special. I wanted to do something worthwhile. So even in my writing and painting, I wanted them to go and look at the writing or painting and love it and think well of me for doing it, but I didn't want them to have to talk to me. I didn't want them to come and face me. That was a bad representation of who I am. But then I thought about now, and I pictured my picture on my wall in Stell. There was the open book with a pen and a painting hanging on the wall, and I was invisible. I didn't want anybody in the picture, but the motive changed. I don't want them to see me. I want them to see him. Through the writing and painting, I was created to be somewhat invisible. And invisible is okay with me now, as long as it's with the right purpose. And because I know he sees me, he loves me, I'm special to him. I'm his favorite one. Love is seen through music. It's seen through everything. It can be seen through suffering. It can be seen through the wealthy. It can be seen through the poor. God can be seen through your life as soon as you know who you are and connect with your special place. So we actually come into a place of freedom to stop living trapped with our flesh and start living in the freedom of our spirit. I love to see God as the diamond. And when you think about the networking, instead of seeing it like lines on a map, see the facets of God. And the light rays, the beams of colorful lights that are shining forth from that massive diamond heart. And one of those rays is just for you. One is special, just to bring you into your place. Or in your multifaceted, maybe there's 20 of them that shine in your direction from the different parts of God that you reflect. And in every one of those reflections, you get to be his favorite one. He can be crying at a funeral with somebody. He can be laughing at a wedding. He can be sitting on a mountaintop meditating in prayer. He's wherever in every place that we are because his love is expanding. When we first discovered, I mean, the galaxies have always been beautiful. Absolutely, totally, awesomely beautiful. But now we've discovered there are galaxies beyond our own. There's galaxies that have nothing to do with Earth as far as we know. They don't light our world. They don't create our atmosphere. They're entire galaxies way beyond ours. Why? What are they about? Because the truth is, God didn't get bored one day and say, wow, you know, I've been here for all eternity, and what else can I create? Because I'm creative, and I just like to make stuff. I get like that. Sometimes I just want to create. What can I create? I think first, what can I create? And then I go looking. But God's not like that. because he is love, every single thing he creates comes from love and is because of love. Now, the love feeds on love, and love grows. You know that we grow as we feed on the love of God. Our love grows and increases, doesn't it? You're able to love more people, and then you want to be loved back by more people. So love grows, and as love grows and expands, it must create more to love back. So God is ever, for all eternity, expanding and growing in love. So think about it. Just the earth, and then all those galaxies out there, either have to be love projects past in eternity before we came, or love projects in the future after this earth is all done. Now, this earth is going to be done, but then there's going to be a new heaven and earth for this galaxy, because Jesus is going to come back and build a new heaven and earth. I believe that one will stay there in eternity because God loves everything he creates. All that's bad will be gone. The perfect earth will be here and it will remain. So are these galaxies about what did he create before we ever existed? I know he created the angels and he was in love with them. But what about before the angels? What about after this earth? Do we have something to do? Because he said we will be like stars shining in the heavens. Oh my goodness. Maybe we actually going to have missions to other galaxies, to where we take his love, that portion of his heart. What if all this love creation of God and all these reflections of God through eternity keep moving into other worlds and loving, encouraging people to be loved, and just spreading this love, massive love of God forever, reproducing itself, expanding. Isn't that amazing? Why are we living for what goes on this little ball? Because this is just testing time. It's just testing time. It's just amazing to me. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. We can get out of our limited thinking every time we connect and become fulfillment of God's heart. He fulfills us. Love grows and expands. And it's just amazing. Repentance toward God, toward what you're created for, toward your own fulfillment, toward the world of love and spirit. Find him, enjoy him. And that is it. And I love that song of Misty's. Wasn't it perfect for where we're at with this repentance? I'm your favorite one. And I have to know what you're thinking. What are you thinking? What are you doing? What are you saying? What are you feeling in this moment, God? I have to know because I want to be in connection with you. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We ask you to follow us home with your words this week. Help us to live a life of repentance towards you. And I want to say a thing about the tallies. Those of you that started tallying last week, tallying the times you turned toward God and forgetting the times of problem, I had this with the kids the other day. I got this idea. Go ahead and tally through the day all the times that you make bad mistakes. You didn't ask God. You did something wrong. You lost your temper. But do it in pencil, because as soon as you repent, you get to erase it. As soon as you repent, you get to erase them. But when you tally turning toward God, do it in red ink, because it's permanent and it's never erased. It lives throughout eternity. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.